gracious hosts, unique lodging, and tasty cuisine. New Mexico bed and breakfasts are New Mexico true. Our innkeepers are as special as New Mexico, and we're sharing their stories. Read about them and plan your trip at nmbba.org. Hey, everybody. It is time to go to Santa Fe, New Mexico. We have Ryan Miller back on the show. Ryan and his wife own and run Bobcat Inn in Santa Fe, New Mexico, the capital city. You can go to bobcatinn.com. And we love this show because we get to chat with innkeepers every single month. And they really are like the inside scoopers. Dude, that sounds interesting, right? Ryan, you're an inside scooper.
Definitely.
How does that feel?
Yeah.
But you guys do.
Better than any other kind of scoopers, I guess.
I know. Yeah, I know. I'm just there's a cat around the corner where I am, and I'm like, that's not the kind you want to be. But but really, I think, you know, innkeepers always know what's going on. You guys are like the if there's gossip going on, you guys know too, don't you?
I try to stay out of the gossip part, but yeah, I guess we do. Yes.
Everybody wants a little gossip, but Santa Fe, you know, when you think about Santa Fe, in winter, what's it like for people? Because you guys just got snow or is that somewhere else?
Snow about a week ago, last Friday. So almost a week ago, we had about 8 to 10 inches, depending where you were in town. And, it's a little earlier than we normally get snow, but we always do get those freak early snowstorms and the freak late ones in April and sometimes early May. But the snow is extremely gorgeous here. You don't get that old, gross, goopy, you know, gray snow alongside the road here just because it either melts so quick or that it's pushed off so far off the road that it's still white. And then the trees just hang with white and it just looks so pretty. I love when it snows like a day or two before Christmas and everything is white outside. But yeah, we definitely get snow. Not as much snow as we used to get 20 years ago, but we definitely get snow.
It's pretty with the buildings, with the adobe, you know?
Oh, it's pretty. It's very pretty.
Yeah. Now with getting there, because that's the other thing, is people traveling going, oh, snow, am I going to get in trouble getting to Santa Fe if snow hits?
No, not at all. The state and the county and the city do a pretty darn good job taking care of the roads, making sure they're clean. We live right on a state road, so it's actually nice. We're on the old Route 66 frontage road. We usually, if it snows overnight by 9 or 10 in the morning, it is clear. Clear sailing all the way. And we have people leave early to the airport. They tell us, like, you know, the roads are clear. Once they get, you know, once they get on the highway, everything's nice and clear. And we're miles from the highway here. So
it's airport, where is the best airport for people to fly?
There's an airport right in Santa Fe, which is a small airport. Mm-hmm. It's a little airport, but I love flying out of there if I can get enough advance notice. But then there's also Albuquerque Airport. And Albuquerque Airport is, I call it more of a medium-sized airport, probably about 40 gates. Santa Fe's got 4 gates. Both are great. Santa Fe Airport is just nice. It's 20 minutes away from almost anywhere in town. It's just nice and easy to get in and out of. The only downfall of Santa Fe is there's only like 4 or 5 flights in and 4 or 5 flights out a day. It's not like Albuquerque where there's flights leaving every
But that
minutes.
Means you have a quieter sky, which is nice.
Yes. Yeah, we have a quieter sky.
So you got to have that quiet and calm. And, you know, I was just thinking with the New Mexico Bed and Breakfast Association, about how many inns do you think you have in Santa Fe?
In Santa Fe, we're sitting right around 8 to 9. Some that are no longer traditional B&Bs. They went to just inns where they're just providing a room. We're sitting around between 8 and 10. I don't know the exact number, but in our B&B association, I believe there is 7 or 8 of us in the B&B association in Santa Fe.
And then you've got Albuquerque, which isn't too far either.
Albuquerque, and there's a couple inns. There's 2 new ones that opened up in Albuquerque, which is really exciting. One a little smaller, one a little bigger, but really exciting. We lost a bunch of inns from 2019 forward, not just because of the pandemic, just because people are changing the way they're doing their business. So, but we got some more inns back, so that was awesome.
I'm glad to hear that you're excited about that, because I think that's something that folks should know, is like if someone calls you and maybe you don't have a room, you're going to call another inn from the association and know this is the kind of inn. If you're looking to stay with me, this is probably the kind you want to go to here, right? And you're also different, though, at the same time. When I go on the website, nmbba.org, everyone. I mean, it's you could go from one every time you go to New Mexico, stay at a different inn for a new experience.
Definitely, definitely. One of some of the strengths of our inn are going out and doing stargazing. It's quieter at our inn because we're not right in the downtown area. You know, you can sit out in our patio and it's just quiet, listening to the koi pond and the waterfall, and not have all the noise and light pollution that you have downtown. Doesn't have much. Mm-hmm. We don't have much noise and light pollution downtown because of our ordinances. The stargazing anywhere in Santa Fe is awesome, but it is amazing where we're at. And the other thing that's nice, if somebody wants to be able to, you know, walk home from the bar, we can refer them to five inns that are right downtown. So there's a lot
Uber.
Of mix and match. Where, you know, we always say we're not the place where you want to stay if you want to roll home from the bar. But, you know, if you're going to bring your scotch and your whiskey and hang out here, you can do that all you want. Or your wine or whatever you're going to drink, you can do that all you want.
Oh, so that's good. Okay. You said wine. I'm there. I'm there. Now, listen.
Yes.
Well, I love that you're taking us around the inn today. This is cool. So we're in different rooms. So every few seconds, we're going to move. But I want to know what was for breakfast today, because that is a big part of having a bed and breakfast is serving breakfast.
So breakfast today, and I'm one of those innkeepers that doesn't keep a static menu every month or every week. I change it up, and I do it mostly driven on dietary restrictions or food allergies. But this morning it was blue corn pancakes, and made a little Southwest scramble with it, and our normal fresh fruit yogurt granola that goes, you know, that we always have every day. But the blue corn pancakes had a orange maple glaze on top. And oh my gosh, they're really good. The color that you get out of the pancakes is just so cool. The blue that blue corn makes is like a smooth, like almost pastel blue. So it's really cool. And then on the edges, you get these brownish blue rings, just ever so slightly. And it's just good. And you get the nutty taste. And it's totally a taste of New Mexico.
Now that's where, and you get pine nuts too. Do you guys use pine
yes,
nuts?
So sometimes I put pinon nuts on top, or I bake them in it. And this time I didn't, because I have two nut allergies in the inn. So I couldn't do that. Every once in a while, we run into nut allergies, and we got to cook for those allergies. But normally I do toast some pinon nuts and put it on top, or I just put it right inside the pancake. So
cool.
But today we just put some extra fresh fruit that we had on top, which was, what was it this morning? I think we put blueberries on top of it.
Oh, well, yeah.
Blueberries are really good on top of those pancakes as well. But that orange maple glaze is really good that we make.
Oh, it sounds good.
Yes.
You know, maple syrup week happens or something in December. There's a maple syrup day or something.
I did not even know that. So we
we do weird things here. We learn about all these holidays we didn't know about.
I didn't even know about that, but we get fresh maple syrup. And from our northern friends in Canada is where it comes from. And it's good. And then we always have other options. Like I like maple syrup on my pancakes, but sometimes I just have a hankering for honey since I'm a beekeeper, and I just drizzle honey on my personal pancakes.
That's right. So do you actually, I know that you're a beekeeper, and for guests to know that you're safe, you know, you're not going to be swarmed by Africanized honeybees or something crazy.
Well,
I just want to bring
bees.
That up to people. Yeah. But being a beekeeper, do you get to actually harvest your own honey for the inn?
Yes, I do. I do. So I harvest and I sell it at the inn. We also, next year we're going to be working on bee pollen. We've never done bee pollen yet. We have fun with that. And that's my fun. My grandfather was a beekeeper. So they say beekeeping skips a generation, and everybody I've talked to, it's pretty true. You know, your grandfather, your grandmother was a beekeeper, and then, you know, the grandkids are beekeepers. So it's kind
I think
of
you need a shirt with the bees on it now. You need bee patches.
I probably have about 10 or 12 beekeeping t-shirts, but I should get them to make patches. And you told me that. I think I'm going to ask them to make some patches for me.
Yeah, you need bee patches. Do you name your bees? Do you like?
Oh, no, I don't name my bees.
That's
you don't
impossible.
Some of the
you don't want to be
names.
Attached to them because that could hurt. But
yeah,
they don't all do that, do they? Bees. They don't sting you. Bees.
No. I mean, I've got stung a couple times this year, but you know, I'm in the hives when I'm getting stung. I'm not walking around them or walking around the property. I'm not getting stung. You see them fly around, But they're pretty far from the inn. They're not
Yeah.
real close to the inn or the patio. We have 10 acres here. They're on the other side of the property. So I take the trek several times, about once to two times a week, and check on a couple hives every so often. And it's fun. It's fun. We
What
and
happens
it
in the winter? Do they go sleepies?
so no, they're perfectly awake. They don't hibernate really. They're sitting in the hive, and they ball up together because that's how they create heat for each other. And then the queen is in the middle. Think of it as a big basketball, and the queen is in the middle. Now there's frames in between them, but that's how they vibrate, and that's how they keep their bodies warm, and that's how they keep the hive warm. And so and
You
bees
never
aren't
know
into
what you're going to learn from innkeepers, I'm telling you.
So I could talk
Wow.
bees all day long.
I love it though, but I love it. And bees are
Yes.
so important to our world, you know.
Yes.
And then being an innkeeper, doesn't that kind of, you know, think about doing the innkeep the beekeeping, the innkeeping, the beekeeping, right? The scooping, don't forget that. But also being with this 10 acres and also being in a very historic city. I mean, really it is like, you know, the capital city and you know, you think about all the history that went down in Santa Fe. It's
Oh my gosh, yeah.
crazy. It's complicated. It's
It's
complex. It's incredible. History lovers, art lovers, obviously, it's a
all
city of the
over.
arts.
Yes.
But do you feel like, as an innkeeper, a connection to the land and that you are not only a steward of the land, but steward of the history and the culture of the area by innkeeping and telling people, you know, where to go, how to, you know, what to
Yeah,
experience, I should say.
so we've owned our inn about 8 years, and you feel it takes a couple of years to really get the feel of everything and understand it all, and then you got to get out there and experience it all. And there's nothing that there's no better teacher than experience, in my opinion. And being a good steward and telling people where to go, and what to see and what to experience is really important. And not every guest is going to come through that door wanting to go hike or go visit Chimayo and go visit the sacred church in Chimayo. But there's a lot of guests that want to go to that sacred church in Chimayo or are going to make a visit to Taos or want to go see the church architecture in Santa Fe. So you just gotta feeling out each guest and finding out what they enjoy is kind of a big thing for us. And how we do it is I just I say, hey, what brings you here? And then they just start talking, and then and then there'll be a nugget of something they're really interested in. Like I just had a guy here over the weekend. He was super interested in Civil War history,
Oh, wow.
and we have two Civil War battle sites here in New Mexico, one in Pecos, New Mexico,
I
and
was gonna
one in
say a Pecos. Yeah, we've
Bandelier.
done shows on Pecos, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
And Fort, if you got Fort Union too,
Yes.
not too far.
Yes, yes. So he was super interested in that. So I talked to him a lot about that, and I gave him some pointers and things to look at that if you just read the literature that we have available online or in books, you're not going to know. Like just little tips and little things that he can find. I even told him we have an old Japanese internment camp here in Santa Fe, from back during World War II. And it's a very sad time in history, but very important part of history that he didn't even know about. And had he not known about it, he would have never visited it. So, I try to give people those little nuggets that are really kind of fun. And people that, they'll stay here for a few days, maybe they'll go stay in Taos, or they'll go stay in Albuquerque, or they'll go up and stay in Durango. I know little nuggets about all those places. And I say, hey, while you're up in Taos, go see this, go see this park. Because it's named after, Kit Carson, or something like that.
I've been to that park.
It's really cool. I always say, I like to look find the off the beaten path things, and not all the things that everybody wants to see, but the off the beaten path things. So I'll say, hey, while you're up in, Abiquiú, go see this extra fun thing at the Ghost Ranch that not many people know about. And people are telling me about things that I don't even know about, at least on a monthly basis. And they'll share like things about the caldera. Somebody was telling me about some stuff about the caldera recently that I had no clue about. And I
Oh,
had
wow.
some really interesting people here a couple weeks ago, and they were all pretty spiritual people, and they were really into the spiritual parts of things, and they told me about that kind of stuff. One of the weird, unique things is the blue Tiffany box from Tiffany's Jewelry actually came from a mine right outside of downtown Santa Fe, 10 miles outside of downtown Santa Fe. That's where the Tiffany brothers found the color for their Tiffany blue.
Wow,
Weird
no
obscure, but
way. But that's
yeah.
cool. Everybody loves that. That's, it's that is the stuff that we all want. That's we want
Yeah.
those unique things, and that you have a story to share with people. When you come up, hey, I went here, I saw that, or I was near this, And when I think of Santa Fe's history, like when you think about it in World War II history, the Japanese
Yeah.
internment, you've got to think Gallup is around the corner from you, and you've got
Yep.
to think about the Navajo Code Talkers and that
Yeah.
history, World War II history, that was part of it. But even the Civil War, people don't realize how much the Southwest played a role in the Civil War. In fact,
Oh,
south of
it.
it helped actually stop it. And
Yeah, I mean the atomic bomb, as sad as
oh,
it
we forgot.
is.
Oh, we can't. Oh, that's a big deal right
Yeah.
now, right? To
Was done
talk
right in
about.
Los Alamos, and but I have a friend that was in not a friend, well, he's a friend of mine, but he's also a neighbor of mine. His father, who lives in Pasadena, I believe, he's the last or one of the last Japanese people that was in the Japanese battalion in the army that was during World War II, and he goes around doing talks, and he stayed here a couple times, and he is just the most fascinating man. His name is Yosh Nakamura, and he is the most fascinating man. It's back when they had, the option was to either go into fight battle or go to an internment camp. He chose to go fight battle for the United States in the country that he loved, and it was just such a it, it he, the things that he's told me in the story, just the little tiny niblets of stories that he's told me, and he's an artist too, but the little niblets of stories that he's told me, and he lives in California, but his son lives literally right down the road. He's like three houses down the road from our inn, and a road that goes right through our property. So you get all these little niblets and all these little things, and weird connections to New York City and weird connections to LA and weird connections to countries in Europe or Australia. It's just the fascinating, weird things. And but I'm full of useless facts. I always say that and a smile will get me a half a cup of coffee one day.
And
But
pancakes with honey,
yeah, and pancakes. Yeah.
and honey. Well, but this is the fun thing about travels. Do you start to realize how big the world really is and how small you
Yes.
really are? And then you realize how small the world is too, right? So
Yes.
it's kind of
Yes.
this crazy thing that happens when you travel. Santa Fe too, you were talking about the spiritual side. You have the cathedrals, you've got all these churches. And so on the spiritual side, when you think about winter holidays, it's got to be like an extra dose of magic in
Well,
Santa Fe this time of
there's a
year.
lot of healers in Santa Fe too. So we have a lot of alternative healers in Santa Fe. There's a lot of people that travel here to work with the healers and help them with their health and with their other things like their souls and their path in life and stuff, and those kind of
Cool.
things.
That's cool. Now, during the winter season, we talked a little bit about snow. Okay. Food is
Yeah.
always happening in Santa Fe. I don't care. It's that this
Oh,
that's a
yes.
thing. But you can actually order Christmas on Christmas Day.
So Christmas is the green ritual. I always get Christmas when I go out because I don't know what my mood's going to strike me, number one. And I don't know what, I always don't know how smoky or how hot the food's going to be. So I like to have both, and I'm a both kind of person. I lean green chili, but you got to have your red chili too, depending on what you're eating. And,
Yeah, yeah, because you can have, both sides of the fork,
yes.
you just put one. I like that. It's like this side is red, this side's green, and then you can
Yes.
mix them if you want and see what happens. But
And then you got to have your
that's important.
pozole over Christmas.
Oh yeah, pozole is a big deal. Yeah,
It's a big
that's
deal
something
over
you don't see
Christmas.
everywhere,
Yeah, and a pozole is so vastly different depending on the family you came from, or depending on what you like. And you would think, how many ways can you cook corn? Well, there's 3,000 ways you can cook pozole. I mean, I was looking up some pozole recipes because I was thinking about doing something like that for Christmas for my friends and family, and I was like, wow, this is overwhelming. And I found one that I kind of like, but it's just how many ways can you do that? And the biscochito cookies, that's another big thing
Oh,
here.
that's
That's
right.
a
That's
state
right.
cookie.
Yeah, and
And
everyone, January 6th is New Mexico's anniversary of statehood, right? It's January 6th. Wow. Can I see? I'm full of useless
Yeah,
facts.
I think it's 100. This year will be the 105th year, I think.
Oh,
We just
well.
celebrated our 100th year a couple years ago. I think it's 19. No, maybe it's 1921. I forget the exact year, but
Well,
yes.
it's Santa Fe and New Mexico is getting old. Yeah, in a good way, in a good way. Aging nicely and gracefully. But the bizcochito is something to make over Christmas too, right? You can do that over the holidays.
Yeah, over the holidays, and we do a New Year's Eve celebration here in the city, and you can get free bizcochito, coffee, and hot chocolate at the celebration. And the bizcochitos are, I personally, I'm somewhat involved in the or in the organize and run it and helping with the New Year's Eve celebration, and it's just such a fun, it's a fun celebration. We raise a Zia symbol, so it's kind of we try to do the opposite. We don't drop something, we raise it, and we raise a
Ah.
Zia symbol, but it also a Zia symbol represents the sun, so and that's where you can
Cool.
get your bizcochitos right on the plaza, made by a local family, not made by a company.
What about tamales over the holiday?
Tamales. So, yes, tamales are a big thing over Christmas. Tamales, I've made tamales personally myself, and tamales are a lot
Wow.
of work, but they are very good. So, a lot of people don't,
Yeah.
they're very good. Tamales are fun to make, but it's a lot of work. So, when you make tamales, you got to make, 50 to 100 of them and freeze them, because it takes 4 to 6 hours to make that many. And,
Wow.
it's just, if you're going to make them the right way, there's other shortcut ways, but when we make them the right way, down to the corn husk and down to the masa. You can't make a tamale without lard.
Yeah, well, the masa and the pozole, when you think about the maize, right? And the corn and even the cornmeal pancakes, aren't there also different varieties of corn and maize to use different
Yes, there
depending
are.
on the farmer and things like that? Doesn't that get into that whole equation of like, now what? There's so much, so many
Yeah, and
ways.
that does play into it, depending on the soil. Some people like to use blue corn with it, and I've seen that done, and it's interesting. I've
Wow.
never actually tasted it. I saw it, and it's beautiful. It's pretty, but the normal pozole is that pale white, the pale
Yeah.
pastel white. But pozole is like a religion around here. Like I said, every family's got their recipe that's been passed down
Well, the
through
last time we were in
five
Santa Fe, we
generations.
had like a, it was like a stew, a little bowl with pork, and it had like a tomato chili kind of base.
That's
Like
probably a
it's,
green chili stew. Usually there's pork in it, sometimes
yeah,
bacon.
and the pozole was big, chunky, kind of chewy goodness. It was, the
Yes,
texture. You
yes.
don't want to, you want that chew in there so it's not mush. It was
Sometimes
perfect.
when people make green chili stew, geez, they put the pozole corn in it, and then obviously just the plain pozole. But a good green chili stew, when it's cold out, man, warms you up like crazy. And there's places that people come and say, "I want green chili." Okay, go here and here and here, and then
Ah.
they go get that
Okay,
green
we're
chili.
gonna, this brings us back to the chocolate lady. The it begins with a K, and you guys always have to
Kakalot.
remind. Yeah, the there's a chocolate place where she has all those elixirs, the chocolate
Yes,
elixirs,
that's
and
Kakawa Chocolates. We actually get all
oh,
chocolate and all of our chocolate packages from Kakawa here in town.
it's amazing. That one, I'll never forget that chocolate. And it wasn't even, it's not hot chocolate. It was like something that the Mayans drink or something, the Aztecs or the Mayans. And I had that and I was like, I was pumped up, man. And it was summer and I was jacked. I'm like, I'm running, man. I can do the Rocky steps in PA if I had to,
They so they opened, that's where I'm from, is Pennsylvania.
That's right. That's right. I remember. Yeah.
But they just opened another Kakawa chocolate shop here in Santa Fe, a whole new production facility, which is allowing them to do a lot more, invent a lot more new things. Really cool. If you're in Massachusetts, there's a Kakawa in Salem, Massachusetts as well.
Wow.
Kind of a weird connection there. The reason I know that is my wife loves Halloween and Dia de los Muertos, so that's why I know that there's one there. And it's fun, and we get our chocolate, all of our chocolate packages there. I mean, the chocolates when I go in there are so cool. Like lately I've been getting ones that are red chilies that are half dipped in chocolate with a red chili powder that they're dipped in then, and They're just so they do such good things, and they just constantly reinvent what they're doing and how they're doing it. So
Wow. All right. So this is a dangerous conversation. We've got honey, we've got like pozole, we got tamales, we got Christmas style chili, we got hot chocolate. Okay, so now
And
what
you got to
about
have your Farolitos outside
oh,
too.
the Farolitos tell yes. Oh, go back to
So,
that story. Remind everybody about the
Farolitos
Farolitos
are, I
story.
think I told the story last year, but Farolitos are the little bags with the lights in them. Luminarias is what they're known with outside of New Mexico. They're called known as Luminarias. So a Farolito, but a Luminaria here is a bonfire. And during New Year's Eve, we do those bonfires right on the plaza. So it's really fun, and it's really but the Farolitos are it's just cool. You'll they're all up now. When you're driving down the road or walking down the road, they're just everywhere. On Canyon Road on Christmas Eve night is the Farolito walk, and it is just so pretty and just so it's bu very busy, but it's just so pretty. And a lot of the galleries, most of the galleries stay open on that night to welcome people in, and they'll have like a thing of hot chocolate there or some wine or something like that, so people can do that. And that's been a tradition for hundreds of years in Santa Fe to have the Farolito walk, and it just gets bigger and bigger every year.
Oh man,
So
that's cool.
yeah, and then but you see Farolitos everywhere. I mean, the Farolitos were on the I last night I had to go pick up my father-in-law at the hospital, and there was Farolitos right on the hospital building, and they're all over the place here. So
Well, what about you got the Farolitos and you've got like the snow could happen, but what amazed me about being in Santa Fe was the National Forest was literally your backyard, and I don't think it was even a 10, 15 minute drive, if that, up the mountain to the forest.
Oh,
But
yeah, it's
so
not far.
but in the wintertime, is there skiing up there, like in
Oh,
the
yeah, there's
wintertime?
skiing. So we have ski slopes in Santa Fe. There's world-class skiing in Taos. Taos Peak is 13,000 feet. Santa Fe's peak is 11,000 feet. There's Santilla ski area that's down near Albuquerque. It's a smaller ski area, but it's really pretty. There is the other ski areas, Angel Fire. It's the only lit ski area in the state. All the other ski areas are not lit, so you got to go during the day. There's Cipapu. There's Pajarito, Red River. I mean, we have a lot of ski areas in Santa Fe. I mean, the neat thing about Santa Fe, yeah, that I think is cool is if you start in the north section of Santa Fe and then you work your way down to all the way to Las Cruces, you can experience four seasons in January. And you can ski, and then you can go hang out and feel like warmer temperatures just south of Albuquerque, and then you can almost have summer temperatures in the southern part of the state in January. So that to me, that's just so cool that you can do that. It's like California where you can do that kind of stuff and experience that. And ski is different than back east. I'm from the back east where everything is ice skiing. Everything out here is powdery, fluffy, and really easy on your joints and on your body.
I
So
remember going to the Poconos, I think it was.
yes, that's where I'm from.
Yeah, well, you
Yeah.
guys, it's too cold. Listen, you need to
Yeah.
stop it. And I
It's the
remember going,
humidity.
I know, I kept telling them, like, it was November and we went to the top and we're looking down and I'm like, what is this weather? What? Why? Why? And
Yeah.
it hasn't done the snow yet, but it this chill factor, like,
It's that
that's
humidity. It's that cold, wet. It's
That's when
the
I
wet,
realized
cold feel.
I'm
And that
aging.
it feels like it's getting to your bones. And, I've turned into more of a fair weather person. I used to love the winter, but by about January, I'm done. By the end of January, early February, I'm ready for spring. I still love snow. I love to look at it. I love to walk out in it like 5, 10 times. But then I'm kind of done with snow personally. But we get people that come through here that are ridiculous skiers. We can go snow tubing here if you just want to pop your butt in a
Oh,
tube
now
and
that's
slide
my
down the mountain.
style.
Yeah,
That's
that's
a
my
safer
style
thing
too.
for me. Yeah, that's a safer thing for
Yeah.
Lisa. And
And
then, yeah. Yeah.
exactly. The most you're going to do is roll out.
Yeah. But that's the best. I
Yeah.
swear the Poconos told me, yes, you're aging, you're getting old, and now you are going to be too big instead of
The
skiing.
difference is in the Poconos, it's ice skiing because everything's ice. It the freeze thaw, it falls and it falls and then it freezes, so it turns into ice. Here it
Wow.
stays as powder because it stays cold up in the slope.
Yeah.
And you can do a snowmobiling. I know some people that do snowmobiling here. We had a couple of people last year that maybe 5-10 people, groups of people that did snowmobiling. Not horseshoeing, geez. Snowshoeing.
Snowshoeing,
The
yay.
snowshoeing is a lot of fun. And snowshoeing off the beaten path. I mean, there's some set trails for snowshoeing that you can follow. But we get a lot of guests that just like to go off the beaten path, and they'll just go to a hiking area and start snowshoeing. And they just have a blast because they can make their own trail and they're not walking in other people's trails. And that's the fun part. With the wind we have here, a lot of trails just get puffed over every night, and you don't know that there was people walking on it the day before. And
Wow, yeah.
again, because we're not thawing out and freezing and it's not getting hard, you get a lot of puffy snow, fluffy snow flying all over the place.
Pretty though.
So yeah,
That's
and
pretty.
it's
Do you
pretty.
get
Yeah.
snowbirds that come down from the north to come out
Yes.
to warmer temperatures?
So
Because we're talking
I'm
about
used to
snow,
see.
but it's like that when we say snowbirds, they know real cold, like what we're talking about from
Yeah, we
Pennsylvania.
get the ones from the M states, Minnesota, Michigan,
Yeah.
Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, Northern Colorado. We get a lot of snowbirds. We see them throughout late January. I'm sorry, late November through about early January. We see the snowbirds come by, and a lot of them just stay here. Some just stay here for a night, go have their fill of chili and have their good cuisine here in Santa Fe. But we get some that stay 2 or 3 nights just to chill and enjoy and kick back and relax on their way to Arizona mostly. Some are going to Mexico, but most of them are going to Arizona. We're right off Route 25, so we see a lot of them that stop here for a night to get their respite, and some stay, like I said, for 2 or 3 nights to get a little bit more rest. But we're kind of the midway point for a lot of them. And when I say midway, meaning the place that they stay for a while.
That's nice though. That's because there's so much to experience in
Yes.
Santa Fe, from the art, I mean, to the history, all the museums. I mean, there's just so much, and you've got so much history of all the people, like you were talking about, even the Civil War history of these, and it's about history is about people. It's so
Yes.
fascinating. You can get past, if you don't like all the dates and timelines, just forget about them and just think about the people, like Georgia O'Keeffe. She, there's all the
That's good.
writers. Like Ben-Hur was written at the Palace of the Governors.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing when you think about it. And then you had
Yeah.
Fremont coming through there, and Kit Carson, and so like
Yes.
it's just this crossroads of amazing. It's
Amazingly
huge.
influential people.
It's insane. Like, but it's cool, and
Billy
that's
the
why it
Kid.
became a
I mean,
Billy. Oh, we can't leave him out.
how
Yeah.
can we forget Billy the Kid? He's
No. Yeah.
so he's very fam he's got some there's some very famous landmarks here that were related to his life. Alive people right now. George R. R. Martin has invested a lot in our community. He invested and helped the Meowth get off the ground years ago. He owns an independent theater here in Santa Fe, and he shows independent movies, and he'll show a lot of
That's
nostalgic
awesome.
movies throughout the year because he's not looking at it to make money. He's looking at it to bring the culture back. And him and two other people, one that owns the oh, what is it? The movie theater, Violet Crown, and then the person that started the dance studio here. They bought the railroad from the spur railroad from Santa Fe to Lamy, and they run a train year round. And then at
Wow.
Christmas, they run the Santa Claus train, and they run all other kind of Christmas and holiday themed trains from downtown Santa Fe out to Lamy, and
Wow.
it's really cool. So the alive people too is it's just so and the stars can be people here in Santa Fe. That's the nice thing is, you'll be driving down the road and oh, there's Robert Redford or there's blah blah blah. But they can be people here. They generally don't get bothered here.
That's
And
nice. That's
that's
nice.
cool. And stars don't do anything for me personally. But the nice thing about Santa Fe is they can just be a person, and a lot of them come into town over the holidays, and they just blend right into the fabric of the community, and nobody
That's
even knows
awesome.
who they are.
Yeah, it's they are just people,
Yeah.
and could you imagine living like that, where paparazzi and people are just, it's like, I would, no, absolutely not. I would never want that lifestyle of
No.
constantly being seen. It's like you can't even go to the bathroom without a paparazzi trying to sneak in your window, and so it's nice for, for
Yeah.
a respite for everybody. But It is always fun having you on the show, Ryan, and I encourage everyone
Yes.
again on nmbba.org for the New Mexico Bed and Breakfast Association. Like you're hearing from Ryan, there's so much to experience. All these little things that make up the fabric of what is this a land of enchantment, the state of New Mexico, and all these inns each have an amazing character and amazing innkeepers who really do have a vast knowledge of what to experience and an obvious love for not only their inn, the building, the history of their inns, but also their community. So keep up with Ryan at go to
Thank you.
bobcatinn.com. Thank you and happy holidays to you and New Year too. Enjoy that sun rising up.
Yes, happy holidays, and thank you very much for having me, Lisa. I always look forward to these talks.
Well, now you
Thank
always
you.
make me hungry. So now I'm going to have to go find some honey and some peanut butter.
Yes,
That's
I
what
hear you. Well, when you get in town, come by and get a bottle or a jar of my honey one day.
All
So have a
right,
good
cool.
day.
Thank you. You too.
You.
Gracious hosts, unique lodging, and tasty cuisine. New Mexico bed and breakfasts are New Mexico true. Our innkeepers are as special as New Mexico, and we're sharing their stories. Read about them and plan your trip at nmbba.org.